I'm not going to talk very long today. We did extra music. You're laughing. Years ago, Miriam and I went to a revival service, and there was an old guy from way down south. And after he'd say a line, he'd always say, "How many believes that?" So maybe I should say that when I say I'm not going to talk very long. How many believes that? But it is likely that I won't talk real long today. I have less notes today than I had last week. What I do have is four or five things I've put on my iPad that I feel God wants me to talk with you about, and I don't know what direction I'm going to go with that. Philippians 4:19 is an awesome passage of Scripture. A lot of the songs today have been about, "Lord, we need you," emphasizing our neediness, which we certainly are a needy people. Philippians 4:19 says, "My God shall supply all," and that means all, "of your needs according to his riches in glory." I took the last part of that off. According to his riches in glory. I probably shouldn't have taken that part off. What's he rich in? Well, if it's material things, it says he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He's certainly rich in grace, which are the important things, rich in mercy, rich in compassion toward us, anxious to forgive. Yes, anxious to forgive. People battle with, "Will God forgive me? I'm not good enough." The devil, the thief, Jesus called him a thief, you know. That's come to me so often in recent years in preaching, why Jesus called him a thief. He likes to steal certain truths from you. The fact is, God is anxious to forgive when we come with a broken, contrite, humble heart, with sincerity. He doesn't want us to use him for a slot machine. Drop in your quarter, ask your request. In a flippant way, he wants us to come with brokenness, openness, sincerity. But when we come and present those humble gifts, those humble things, a humble heart, a submission, when we come to him, he is actually anxious to forgive. He is rich in grace and mercy. "My God shall supply all of your needs." Don Sanderson texted me some spiritual things this week, early in the week, in regard to last week's sermon. When I read what she had sent, it sparked something within me. Dawn, are you here? Yep, there you are. And this second line came from her. "We've turned into a praying society instead of a praying society." We're needy and we pray on what we need. How many have we had the privilege to offer the healing that God can bring to who have gone from relationship to relationship to relationship? We've been honored to have so many like that who have turned to the Lord only to find that he could meet their need rather than praying on the next relationship. And Dawn, I think you're on to something. When I read that, that sparked something within me. We've turned into a praying society instead of a praying society. So what do I pray on next? What do I chase down next with this thirst within? What do I chase down next to satisfy this emptiness and this longing inside that was placed by the Creator and can only be filled by the Creator? Is there joy in a wife or husband? Ish and Isha. We don't have to spend hours of debate to figure this out, folks. God created every day and ended the day by saying, it is good, which in the Hebrew means it is proper, it is right. This is what I want. And last of all, the highest of his creations, he made Ish and Isha. Isn't that beautiful names? Aren't those beautiful names? Ish and Isha. I have a daughter-in-law named Trisha. Many derivatives from those names, Ish and Isha, male and female, it says he made them. And so we need the companionship of a spouse. But it's interesting, God says an interesting thing in Genesis. He said it's not good for man to be alone. Man walked with God. Adam walked with God. But yet he said it's not good for him to be alone. And he put Adam into a deep sleep, took a rib, and made woman from the rib. A lot could be said about that. I'll not go off on that. But I will say that the rib is beneath the arm and close to the heart. And if you will love your Isha and protect her and keep her close to your heart, you will find that she will in turn honor you, Ish. And the man and woman in marriage relationship can be what God designed. It's not good for man to be alone. We need God. We need each other. Adam walked with God, but yet God said it's not good for man to be alone. We need God. We need each other. The two greatest commandments are what? Jesus said, "Hear, O Israel, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind, with all thy strength." And the second commandment is likened to it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And then when Jesus died, he capped that and said, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I have loved you." So I am called, the greatest calling of all, is to love the Lord my God with all my heart, my soul, my mind, my strength, and then to love you as Jesus did. And wow, that's a process. I'm a long ways from that. But I've come a long ways, and it is a process. In our society, we're needy. In our society, we've reached a place of desperation. If you can't see that, you're blind. Sorry, I say that as kindly as I know how, but that's true. If you can't see that, you're blind. We've come to a desperation level, and Don, you're exactly right. We've turned into a praying society. We are preying on, P-R-E-Y-I-N-G. We are preying on the next fix, the next thing that can fix this inner crave that's there, and it's a hunger for the Creator. It's the cry for God. Many of you have heard me start a lot of prayers probably over the years being your pastor. And you probably have noticed that many times I will start a prayer, not always, but many times by saying, "Lord, thank you for the friend that you are." The Lord is a friend that's incredible. He wants to know you. We've been talking a lot the last few weeks about knowing him. And in these last days, in these times when things are melting down and the sea and the waves are roaring, scripturally it refers to the sea and the waves roaring. And the interpretation of that is given in Scripture that the sea and the waves are the masses of people. And we see trouble on every side in our country, in our world. And we see a society that has reached a place of desperation and preying on the next thing that can maybe satisfy. God calls us and says, "I will supply your need." We've been hammering really hard the last couple messages. Taking your time with God. That these are days that you need to do that. I'll probably stay on that for a long time and interject it here and there when we need to move, maybe some other main subject, but I'll keep bringing it up because we need our time with God to replenish. And when we do that, He will meet the need of our heart. I can't explain it to you. But when I take my 5-mile walk, which I'm not able to do every day, but what an awesome privilege it's been to walk with God, literally walk. I love nature. And that's a connection for me. And you got to work your own out. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. But you've got to figure out a way to have that time with God where you're alone and you pick up the gentle breezes of the Holy Spirit. I don't want a hurricane to have to come along to get my attention to be moved of God. I want to pick up the rustling of the wind, the gentle wind. I love John 3:8. The wind bloweth where it listeth. You hear the sound thereof. You know not whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that's born of the Spirit of God. It is Jesus who compared the Spirit to the wind. We know at Pentecost came the rushing mighty wind when the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. Of course, that needed to be a big wind. That was the beginning of the dispensation of the Holy Spirit. My goodness, that needed to be a big wind. But we've talked in the last couple of weeks about Elijah hearing the still small voice. And in the Hebrew, in that story of Elijah, the Old Testament, in the original Hebrew, where it says still small voice, if you go and study that, you'll find that it is referenced. The reference is the gentle breeze through the leaves. I want to pick it up. This is a praying society, and they're praying on you, and they're praying on me. And the advertising agencies are dangling stuff in front of us all the time to get us to pray on the next thing that somehow can bring comfort, which is the deepest need of the human heart. Trying to get us to chase after things that'll bring comfort when it is my God who will supply all of your need. And when I start my walk, I find that within a few minutes, my perspective is beginning to change. I regain the ability to forgive. I regain the ability to let go of things that have been agitating and maybe bothering me through the night. And God can do marvelous things in a few minutes, but we've got to quiet our hearts. And so I'm calling you as a church and not bashful about it. As we face a troubled future where everyone is preying on something, it seems, and we're being preyed upon as Christians. It is God who can supply your need. And it will be, there'll be things you'll glean from your pastor, hopefully. There'll be things you'll glean from your teachers and your mentors and counselors, et cetera, et cetera. But the main counselor is referred to in John 14 when Jesus said, I will send you the comforter, or some translations say counselor, but it means the same thing. In the Greek of the New Testament, it means the one who counsels and brings comfort. So both those translations are right. The reason that I have such, and I'm just going to say it like I feel it, the reason I have such deep compassion and mercy for addiction as a minister is because I believe what it really is people looking for a substitute for the Holy Spirit. We don't spend a lot of time in this church hanging lists of don't do this, don't do that, and if you do this, you do this. And there's a time for law to be laid down for sure, and the law is the schoolmaster that brings us to Christ, Paul said. But there's a deeper thing going on. It isn't about a list of do's or don'ts. Don't do anything that's a substitute for the Holy Spirit. Don't involve in anything that's a substitute for the Holy Spirit. A bottle can be a substitute for the Holy Spirit. And I don't have arguments with people over, you know, how much of this and how much of that, and is a little bit of this okay, and what if a little bit? I don't have those discussions anymore with people. I've gotten walked into that too many times in the past. I don't have those discussions. But I know this. Jesus said in John 14, I'm going to leave and go back to the Father, and I'm going to send the Comforter, and He'll bring you to truth. He'll bring you to the right way. And these things that we pray upon and pray upon us are substitutes for the Holy Spirit. If you're self-medicating, you may be in desperation, and I understand that. But the Comforter, oh, He doesn't do it in shortcuts. It's a process. But the Comforter fits that place within you that you're trying to cram with all these other things. Become a praying person. Become a person who is insistent on spending time with God. Until I don't trust my iPad, I always look to see if it's up there. Where does your comfort come from? I just quoted John 14. Where does your comfort come from? I thought, when we first got married, the beautiful young woman that I married, we've been married now 42 years, I thought all my comfort should come from her. She should be able to supply all of that. How unfair. Do you know that there's no person that can do that? Don't put that kind of pressure on your spouse. I'm not Jesus. We're working on it. And I believe in faith, we're getting more like him, and I see it in you too. I believe we're getting more like him as we go along. Daddy used to say, little exit ramp here. Daddy used to say, the older you get, the more you'll get like the place you're going. The older you get, the more you'll get like the place you're going. Awesome to be with Rod McNary. Awesome to see people who have blossomed and are bringing forth fruit in old age and have a love and compassion for God and others. It's so interesting that when I've had the privilege of being with many people when they have died or close to their hour of death, have had some interesting experiences, both Christians and non-Christians. I've been with lots of people when they've died over the years. Lots of people. And I've told you about some experiences. But it's so interesting how that God brings us back to those two greatest commandments at the moment of death. God and others. Never heard anybody on their deathbed say, man, I wish I'd have got my car paid for. Man, I always wanted to put on that room addition right before they die. We just didn't get her done, no? Never anybody say anything like that. But they all say the same thing, because when it comes down to death's door, no matter who we are, it's the two greatest commandments. Everybody says the thing, oh, I wish I'd have spent more time with the Lord. Wish I'd have spent more time with my kids. Let's get it right ahead of time. Because if you see, it's a win-win situation. Because if you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, what? Matthew 6:33. If you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, he'll add everything to you. And I have found that to be so true. Well, here's something cool. If you have any notes, you can just go any direction you want. It's a lot of fun. I had a need supplied this week, and God reminded me of Matthew 6:33. Mike knows what it is. I had prayed that my old mower would last through this season. I like to squeeze as much out as you can out of stuff, you know. I don't care if it looks like a piece of junk, it does. But you can give more. You can help people more if your cars last longer. So I always pray that they'll have lots of miles. The Escape, I asked for 250,000 and we're at 230. I haven't had to do any work on it. My truck's got 120 some on it. The more miles you can get on it, the more you can use your money toward other things. So I was praying, Lord, give me another year on this mower. Give me another year on this mower. I'm talking about Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God. Well, Friday morning, Thursday morning, I don't know if that was it. Was it Tuesday morning? Doesn't matter. Whatever morning it was. Wanted the house to look nice, kids all coming home. Play outside, want to get all the weeds and everything cut and everything looking nice. And Mike and Whitney were helping me on some other projects. And my mower quit. It's got 100 ailments, got all kind of problems, bearings going out and everything else, but I just keep patching it together. Bob Hilbert, he's jumped in and helped me 2 or 3 times. We get this thing going. Michael Graves has worked on it. Everybody's had a little experience with my mower. The other morning it quit. It was an electrical problem. We couldn't figure it out to save our life. Every time we turn around, we blow a fuse. Kept messing with it. Bob thought he had it fixed. Did mow for an hour, and then it quit. So I went for my walk, and I said, Lord, I'd ask you to stretch this mower out one more season, and then next spring, my tax refund, I'll get a new mower. It's about due. I got this one free that I'm using. Got it free 8 years ago. I get home from my prayer walk and I turn on my phone and there's a picture of a mower. Somebody texts me and said, do you want this mower? And it's brand new. Somebody that we know that lives hours away from here, it was nobody from the church, had inherited a mower from a death in their family along with a bunch of other stuff and they didn't want it. And they gave me a brand new 20 horse Craftsman mower. Ain't that cool? Okay. Not very many pastors use up your time with mower stories. What am I saying? Very practical. We can argue and fuss around and say, well, you know, I got too much to do. I even had a fellow in ministry tell me that one time. Tom, that works for you, but I just don't have time. And I thought, buddy, you can't afford not to have time. You can't afford not to have time. And I have no axes to grind anything, but that troubled me deep. I thought, you can't afford not to have time. Because when you seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, I cried over that mower. Oh, not the silly mower. I don't care about mowers. But that God would care enough about me and be so honoring of his word that when I was praying and my motive was, if you mower less, you can help people more. You know, I don't have to have all new stuff. I just want it to work. I don't want to be stressed and it won't start and all that. But it's so precious that God cares enough about us that if we do seek him first, he'll just add to us. He'll just add to us. He'll just add. He'll take care of those things. But deeper than physical things is the horrible emotional need that people have and the way they go preying on others. And it's sad to see as they, I remember being in the office over when we were over at the other location by 12 Mile. And I remember being in the office with a young woman who I saw making some huge mistakes and was off to the next relationship. And you know, there is a time to settle in, and there's a time when God brings you the right person. So don't anybody read anything into that. There's a time when that happens. And some of you have come back from lives where now God has you in a good place. So hold on to that place. Don't anybody take it from you. But the truth is what Don, what you said is exactly right. We've become a praying society. We're praying on the next thing that can solve this problem. Where does your comfort come from? John 14, Jesus said, I will send the Comforter. And he will lead you into truth. He will guide you. I want to be so keen to the Holy Spirit. And I've missed it. I've missed it at times. But Bob, we didn't miss it Friday. I was on my way, take a motorcycle or be repaired. That's another thing. God gives you friends and places to take care of you. Ben, he always takes care of me over there on motorcycle. On the way there, just as clear as anything, I heard the gentle breeze of the Lord roaring down the road on motorcycle. Go see Rod McNary. Go see Rod McNary. Go see Rod McNary and go see him right away. I'd wanted to hang around and talk to Ben a little bit. I even told Ben, I need to go see your grandpa. We got there, we were able to have prayer with him and hug him. What a precious moment that was, not knowing he would go to be with the Lord in 2.5 hours. And they were in the hallway with the stretcher when I finished the prayer. If we'd have been 10 minutes off, we'd have missed it. I'm not smart enough to make those calls. But we nailed that one. And we've missed it at times. What am I saying to you? I want to be keen enough and practiced up at hearing the Lord enough that I don't miss the gentle breezes. The thing I have prayed for the most in my older years is a keen sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. Have the guts to stick to things when it isn't popular. Because the wind can take you all. There's all kind of breezes. There's all kind of voices out there. Have the guts to stick to things when it isn't popular. When you know that God told you, you know that you know. Which moves me into my next point in my other 5 minutes for the message. Where does your confidence lie? This half of the sermon came from Don Day. So you can't give me any credit this morning. Don and Don. That's interesting. Don and Don. This came from Don Day in a text. But when you sent me your text, Don, it sparked me. Because it's tied together. Where does your comfort come from? Now, where does your confidence lie? I want to hear the Holy Spirit be able to stick to what God said to me. Don't read anything into that. There are sometimes things are in seasons. But God can whisper that to you. I've had times when I've said, Lord, I'm positive you told me to do this, but it seems like it's kind of winding down. Let me tell you an example of that. I never saw God move like he did the 2 years after my cancer when I was doing chaplaincy at St. Vincent's. I'm telling you, God moved. I would go onto that floor and get off the elevator, and when the elevator doors opened, I would feel a sense of God's presence so strong, and it was like God would just usher me to rooms. Was able to lead Margaret Cook to the Lord before she died, had numerous opportunities to witness. The nurses would come to me, Tom, you need to see this first. You talk about it flowing. God was all over that thing. And after a couple of years, it just seemed like something changed. I went down two or three times, and it wasn't flowing anymore. Some of the nursing staff had changed, and things were a little different. The atmosphere was different, and I began wrestling, and I thought, Lord, I thought I was going to do Thursday chaplaincy at St. Vincent's the rest of my life. On my walk, alone with God, listening to the gentle voice and the gentle breeze, he said, let it go, son, this season's over. I wanted you during that time because I was moving through that group of Christian nurses who had prayed for a chaplain like you. But that had all changed. Susie Troyer went to Africa as a missionary. That all changed, and he moved me out of that situation. What am I saying to you? I can't dictate to you what you should do, but I can encourage you to hear the gentle breezes and put yourself in a place where you can hear it. And you'll come back to me, and I won't have to convince you. You'll say, this works. I say, I know. That's why I'm doing it. Scotty said to me one time, Dad, you sure have stuck to stuff over the years. I can't get you to give in. I said, partner, it's worked. It's worked. I don't think I'm all right on everything, but when my mother died in my arms, it worked. When I was in the hospital, and they said I wasn't going to live the night, and I was bleeding out my nose, it worked. When I was raising my boys and we were in the midst of addictions, it worked. And so I'm not real anxious to scrap this because it's worked. And you got to build your relationship with God, and it'll have a little different feel to it, a little bit different form to it than mine. The basics will be the same. It'll have a character that fits your personality. Where does your confidence lie? What is it rooted in? God woke me with a song Tuesday morning. The apostrophe's in the wrong place. Don't let that bother you. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Now we're talking about where does your confidence lie? 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Okay, you listening? Because here's what God spoke to me and convicted me. I'm going to tell you something. I'll tell you what that means in a minute. Tuesday morning, God convicted me of something. And it's this line here. Just to take him at his word. Just to take him at his word. Just to rest upon his promise. Just to know, thus saith the Lord. Some of you recognize that old hymn, Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him over and over. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. But this is the first verse. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. I was feeling a little distance or something. Just a little distance. Now, let me just do a little teaching here. Some of you are new Christians. Many of you are. Sometimes God will silence a little bit and even seem to distance a little bit. When he does that, he's trying to get your attention. He hasn't deserted you. Oh, I used to feel so good, now I don't. Something's wrong. You know, we can go all those routes. But I found that when God seems kind of still and quiet, he's trying to get me to notice something. And so when my relationship begins to feel a little different, I'll often say, Lord, what is it you're trying to show me? What is it you're trying to show me? God woke me Tuesday with this song just to take him at his word, and then spoke to me on my prayer walk that there was something in my life I was not taking his word for it. Did you ever say to your kids, Mom used to say to us, why? I want to know. Just take my word for it. Just take my word for it. The songwriter says, just to take him at his word and then rest on that promise. God had given me a passage at the beginning of the year. You know what it is if you've been attending. I've told you. It's on my wallpaper and my phone so that I have to see it all the time. It's 2 Corinthians 12:9. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. I will therefore glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest on me. God gave me that at the beginning of the year because I was needy. And I was saying, Lord, I'm getting older. Pastoring, the church is growing. The ministry is growing. There's more to this ministry than Sunday morning. We do outreaches throughout the week. There's a lot of connections many of you are even unaware of that come in through the week and other things. Vince has heard this well being in staff meeting. Guy has heard it well being in staff meeting. I kept saying at the end of last year, I can tell I'm getting older. I don't have the capacities I had. As the church is growing, I can tell I just don't have the energy level. I can tell I'm 61 in March. I was 60 at the time when I made that statement. God powerfully gave me his word. Take him at his word. He powerfully gave me the word. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect when you're weak. Now glory in your infirmities. Don't whine about them. You don't need to talk about them all the time. That's what he said to me. You don't need to whine about your infirmities and tell everybody how bad you feel. Just rest in my promise. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. I will therefore glory in my infirmities. Well, back to Tuesday. I had felt a little distance. God wasn't shutting me out. I was still praying, but I just felt a little distance. I said, Lord, I feel like something's not right. I want to be sensitive to the gentle breezes. Something isn't right. And God spoke to me through this psalm and said, you haven't been taking me at my word. You're still whining about your capacities and how you're going to be able to do all this and all that. Are you going to believe that my strength is made perfect in weakness and that my grace is sufficient? Are you going to believe that, or are you going to keep whining about it? And I knelt down on the ground and I said, Lord, I repent for whining. No, your grace is sufficient. Is his word enough? Is his word enough? Yes, it is enough. That's why the author who understood that said, it's sweet. You know how we say, that's sweet. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just take him at his word. We don't need to make an outline. We don't need to elaborate it on with a bunch of paragraphs in our journal. Just take him at his word. That's what God said to me. Will you just take me at my word? And I repented of that, and I had a breakthrough immediately. And I said, you're right. I haven't been glorying in my infirmities. I've been whining in them. And sometimes in fun. But you know our heart. Take him at his word. Rest upon his promise. Yeah, I'm going to wait on that. In Matthew 14, I'm going to wind up with this. I don't feel like the others right for right now. In Matthew 14, it's an awesome story. I'm not going to read it. Jesus constrained, it says in the King James Version. I like that particular translation for that passage. I like the choice of words there. Constrained them, urged them in the Greek of the New Testament to get into a ship and go. While he sent the multitude away, he had just fed the 5,000. They went out in the ship he had ordered that. Huge storm came. Did you know that storms are part of the Christian life? Not everybody's teaching that, but that's true. Storms are part of the Christian life. The end of the Sermon on the Mount, it says, he that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him to a man that built his house on the rock, and the wind came and rain came and beat on the house. What that's telling us is, hey, you're going to have storms. In this world, you will have tribulation. He constrained him. He urged him. You go. And he knew there was a storm coming, but he sent him into the storm. Some of you this last year have been sent into the storm. Then he went walking on the water to them. They looked out in the midst of the storm, crying out for help, thinking that the ship was going to sink. And they saw Jesus walking on the water, and it says they cried out and said, it's a ghost. Oh, no. And Jesus cried out and said, it is I, be not afraid. Now, we're talking about just to take him at his word. Peter said, we criticize Peter a lot, we shouldn't. Peter said, if it's you, let me come to you on the water. And Jesus said one word. He said, come. Just to take him at his word. This week, that blessed my own heart. I want to share it with you. I said, Lord, I want to be so sensitive to the Holy Spirit that you can whisper one word to me. I can say, Lord, I really want to do this thing. Man, it's stormy. Oh, is that a ghost? Oh, no. This is a fearful situation. You can say one word to me, and I'll say, okay. And we can criticize Peter all we want. But it took quite a man of courage at one word, come. And he stepped over onto the water and began walking to Jesus. But then he saw the waves, and he was distressed and got his eyes off Jesus. What was our text last week? Hebrews chapter 12, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Remember? Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He took his eyes off Jesus and he began to sink. And Jesus took him by the hand and raised him up. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. Where is your confidence? Where does your confidence lie? In closing, remember how I say it three times? Maybe his word to you is that you are a child of God, as Brian Alley so beautifully sang. Don, you said in your text that one of the greatest things for you has been your identity as a child of God and claiming that. Just to take him at his word. I'm almost done. Seriously, I am. I really am. Some of you got to get past that first part that Don's talking about. You're not going to go anywhere until you claim it and take it and own it. I know you came out of a life where you were preying on other things and filling that void with everything else, but that's over, and you got to take forgiveness at his word. And quit saying, but I was a drug addict, and I still struggle with a lot of temptation, and I can't be a child of God, as Brian Alley so beautifully sang. You got to own it. And Don said to me this week that it was a great day in his life when he owned it. Because as Don shared in his testimony, there was a time there where he had drifted away and the devil wanted to steal back that God was anxious to forgive. And when he claimed that, he got a hold of something. And Don, I don't mean to brag on you, and I know you don't want that, but I've seen the Spirit work mightily in your life since you did that. God wants to bring the gentle breezes or the rushing mighty wind, or in any form he wants, and he wants us to be in tune on the right wavelength, but it has to be that we take him at his word. Some of you needed to get a hold of, I am saved. Take him at his word, just to rest on his promise. Oh, but I've made some horrible mistakes. Oh, haven't we all? Get in line. Get in line, haven't we all? just to take him. So I ask you, where does your confidence lie? What is it? And I want to close with that. What is it? Where in the world is it? What is it that, there it is. What is it that God has given his word to you on and you're not taking him at his word? With me, I am changing. I am getting older. One guy here, I can't remember who it was, but somebody here nailed it. They said, Tom Robbins doesn't look very old, but he got a lot of miles on. True story. True story. God spoke to me very clearly at the beginning of the year when I was saying, Lord, I just don't have the capacities. I'm so excited about how the church is growing, but man, I just ain't got the capacity. And he spoke to me and said, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. Now you glory in your infirmities. And I strayed from that. And that's why I felt distant. But through the gentle breeze, for he is gentle and kind, he pulled me back and woke me in the night with this song, 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word. And I realized that I wasn't taking his word for that. He's given you something. If you're following him, he has given you something. You might be at a totally different stage than some other ones, or where I am, or I've been with the Lord 42 years. You might be at a different stage or more so. But there's something that he has given you of his word. Take him at his word and rest on that promise. Where does your confidence lie? Maybe you need to do like Don said to me and just say, I am a child of God, as Brian, that I got to get past that word first. I got to claim I'm one of his. I can't pick up gentle breezes. I can't develop like the pastor talking until I own this thing. And if I were to be asked with the congregation, Tom, that you have now, and I like this better than any of them. I've had great congregations, but I love this one. If you were to say, what do they need the most? I'd say, they've got to own it. Because they've got a lot of baggage. Man, all of us got more baggage than Samsonite. You know we do. But you got to own it. And when you start owning it, and it's because of his word. It's not yours. If you confess your sins, he's faithful and just forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Done, finished. That's end of story. Owning it. It's mine. But when you get a hold of that, then you start developing in walking in the Spirit and picking up on what he whispers to you. And you'll pick up the gentle whisper in the leaves. And God will guide you and direct you. So I end with that. What is it that he has given your word on? Where does your confidence lie? What is it that he's given you his word on and you've not owned it? Maybe you need to repent like I needed to. Let's stand together for prayer. Lord, thank you for each one here. Thank you for the awesome songs. Thank you, Kevin Abbey and family could be here today, and Alan's kids. Just awesome to have them all here today. Thank you that Kenny Sr. could be here today. Lord, talk to our hearts. I believe that you want to do some marvelous things within us. Draw us to yourself. Thank you for the wonderful privilege of getting to see Rod McNary before he went to be with you in the place of no more sorrow, no more tears. Thank you for the leading of the Spirit this week. Put a hunger in everyone's heart here to follow and be led of you. In Jesus' name I pray. Now may the Lord bless and keep you. And the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. And may the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. You're dismissed.